Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Protect your family's future with life cover from Zurich. Talk to a financial broker to find out more.
Now, lots to talk about internationally this week. Former US President Donald Trump is still waiting to be arrested. American support was welcomed following the Windsor Framework ratification. Chinese President Xi Jinping visited Vladimir Putin, who himself had been issued with an arrest warrant for war crimes by the International Criminal Court. And to wade through all of that, we're joined now by former US National Security Advisor to President Trump, John Bolton. And you're welcome, John, to the programme this evening. We might start with that impending arrest of Donald Trump. It didn't happen when he expected to happen, apparently. But do you think it's just a matter of time?
Well, I suspect it is, in not just in the Stormy Daniels case, but in several others as well. You know, this is a strange situation. You've got four different significant criminal cases run by three different prosecutors in three different jurisdictions. So it's pretty clear they're not coordinating. I think most people would say that the fixing the books case, which is a felony under New York law for what Trump did for his hush money payments to Stormy Daniels, isn't necessarily the case you'd bring first. But it certainly appears from what we can tell from the publicly available information that that's going to happen. Obviously not this week. I don't know where Trump got Tuesday from, but next week would be a reasonable expectation.
If he's arrested, do you think it might actually help Donald Trump's campaign to be the Republican candidate?
Well, I think it depends not so much on the indictment as it does on whether he's convicted or not. If he's indicted but acquitted, then I think that would be rocket fuel for his campaign, because it feeds into his narrative that the poor man is always being picked on and discriminated against and the prosecution was political. On the other hand, if he's indicted and then convicted, I think that's a lot harder to shake. And I don't think we really can tell what the impact would be. But for most people, including actually many, many Republicans who are not diehard Trump supporters, paying hush money to a porn star to cover up an extramarital affair and then cooking your company's books to disguise it is not a good look in a president.
Well, yeah, I think most people would agree with that. But you're saying that even if he's indicted for that, and although perhaps not convicted, that could still be rocket fuel to his campaign. He could be the Republican candidate.
Sure, because if he's acquitted, his argument is this prosecutor is out to get him politically, that it's entirely political prosecution and not deserving on the merits. And if he's acquitted, he will use that to prove that, in fact, the whole thing was a sham, that it was a made-up case, it never should have been brought, which is what he's been saying. And I think a lot of people would say, you know, that's right. If they don't get a guilty verdict, I think that's a problem for the prosecutors. And so in this case in New York, whatever the prosecutors know, they may know more than we know in public, that's for sure. They better be very sure that they're going to get a conviction.
Donald Trump turned up the heat overnight with a social media post predicting, and I'll quote, potential death and destruction if he is charged. Very provocative language. We've seen provocative language from him before. Does any of that work against him at all, do you think, John, or does it work in his favor?
Well, I think for his increasingly shrinking base, it may work, and people may turn out. But actually, most people in the country do not favor riots deciding political campaigns. I think it's unlikely that very many people will turn out to protest. At least I hope that's right. But if they do, and if they're violent, that I think will be negative for Trump. He's got to try and walk the line here, and so he's very careful not to call for them to engage in that kind of activity. He just predicts it will happen because they'll be so upset. As I say, my hope is that there are really very few pro-Trump people who come out if he is indicted.
And can I ask you on a different topic about the political reaction in the United States to the signing of the Windsor Framework?
Well, I think in the United States, quite honestly, not a lot of people have followed the specifics of it. I think some opinion is those who do, opinion is divided. Some people who buy the argument that the Good Friday Agreement has been hurt by the failure of the UK and the EU to reach agreement. Personally, I think it works exactly the opposite. Power sharing is on standby now. The whole basis of the Good Friday Agreement has been compromised by I think successive parliaments' unwillingness to face the reality that when the referendum voted the UK out of the European Union, there shouldn't be any remnant of European Union law applying to any part of the United Kingdom. And for whatever reason, people can't seem to get that point. That's why we're in the fix we're in now.
Well, but of course, the reason the European law has to apply in Northern Ireland is because we need to try and avoid a hard border in the island of Ireland and to try and avoid a hard
border.
Sure,
there are lots of ways to avoid a hard border. If the United Kingdom is an independent country, which I think it has decided it wants to be, then some foreign entity's law cannot apply, in my view, period, close quote. It's inconceivable to me that any part of the United States would ever agree to that.
Yeah. Well, I suppose, you know, all the best minds that we have in the EU and in the UK spent the last 6 years trying to come up with some other solutions to a hard border in the island of Ireland, and not one of them could. What solutions do you think exist?
I think there are a lot of solutions based on pre-screening, on just common sense approach to how to handle the border. The fundamental EU interests are not going to be compromised by huge trade suddenly emerging across the Northern Ireland border that undercuts the EU. That's a fantasy. I think this is a political effort by the European Union and the government of Ireland to embarrass and harass the British people for having the audacity to vote themselves out of the European Union.
Or perhaps it is the EU and the Irish government pointing out to the British government the consequences of their own actions.
Here's the consequence of the action. Britain is now, the United Kingdom is now an independent country. And I'll just say it again, no foreign law should apply in the territory of the United Kingdom, period,
sure.
Close quote.
Sure, and I mean that would all be fine if there wasn't a border in the island of Ireland and the Good Friday Agreement upholding that, John.
There's a border in the English Channel between Britain and France, isn't there?
Yes.
Yeah, so
what is the
problem?
I don't understand your point.
Does that mean that European Union law has to apply in England because there's a border with France? I mean, part of the question here is, do you think Northern Ireland is really part of Ireland, or do you think it's part of the United Kingdom?
Well, according to the Good Friday Agreement and according to the fact of people living in Northern Ireland, there are two communities. There are nationalist and unionist communities living in Northern Ireland. So there are people who identify themselves as Irish, who are able to get Irish passports, who are living in Northern Ireland. So it depends on who you talk to.
I'm not sure I would have agreed to that, but who is sovereign in Northern Ireland?
That's not something that you get to agree with
London
or disagree
or
with. That's just the truth.
Who is sovereign? Who is sovereign? Are there two sovereigns in Northern Ireland? Is that your position?
No, I'm not taking a position. I'm telling you the truth, which is that there are two communities living in Northern Ireland.
There can only be one sovereign.
Absolutely.
And at the moment, Northern Ireland is ruled by the United Kingdom.
And that is absolutely the case at the moment.
But there is a border. That's right.
But there is a border on the island of Ireland. And that border has caused an awful lot of difficulties in our country's past, which I'm sure you must be aware of.
Will the border be down the Sea of Ireland, or will it be on the island of Ireland? And I think very clearly the answer that the British people gave was they were seceding from the European Union. They were reclaiming their independence. Circumstances have changed. And the European Union should accept that reality. And I think it's been a problem with leadership of the UK that's gotten them into this ambiguous position. I would simply say...
So sorry, John, just to be clear on what you're saying, there's a border either down the English Channel or in the Irish Sea, or there's a border on the island of Ireland. Are you saying there should be a hard border on the island of Ireland to allow the UK...
I frankly wouldn't bother me in the slightest because...
Well, of course it wouldn't bother you. You don't live there. You know, you're not the person who's going to be affected by the societal and political unrest or potential return to violence.
Yeah, a lot of things are potential. The issue is whether there were good faith, practical solutions put forward to avoid the hard border, which there were, and the European Union and the Republic of Ireland wouldn't accept them because they want to keep their hooks in the United Kingdom, ultimately to drag them back into the European Union.
Well, funny enough,
or
you haven't
at minimum
named...
make it as painful and costly to the United Kingdom for its citizens having the temerity to assert their democratic rights to declare independence.
You haven't named one of those solutions.
They had checks in manufacturing and other facilities before the border. Mm-hmm. There could be declarations of the amount of material going over.
Much of that is happening.
The concern is, as I understand it, that a huge flood of goods and materials would come in or go out of the European Union over which they'd have no control. I think that is highly unlikely given where the Irish border is.
Okay, so would the U.S. then allow unregulated trade across the Mexico border on the basis that it was highly unlikely there might be a flood of trade?
The Mexican border is multiple times longer than the border of Northern Ireland, which is about as far away from most of the European Union as you can get physically.
Okay, so your point is it's just unlikely to happen, therefore there's no obligation on the EU to protect that aspect of its border, because it probably won't happen. I just can't imagine the United States taking that attitude to any aspect of its own border.
This is an Irish nationalist position that is consistent with the EU desire to prevent in any way they can and to minimize in any way they can the UK's effort to get out of the European Union. And I just think it's a political motivation, has nothing to do with the theory about harming the Good Friday Agreement.
Okay, and I think I heard you saying there you don't think the border is important enough.
I don't think that amount of trade across the border is important enough to jeopardize the sovereignty of the United Kingdom. That's not
okay,
the
so
view
the sovereignty
in Brussels,
of the United
obviously.
Kingdom is more important than border integrity of the EU.
Look, the British people said, we're out of the EU. And, you know, they offered good faith alternatives. The EU didn't want to hear about it because they were fighting a desperate rearguard action to hold on to as much authority inside Britain as they could against the day when they could expand it.
Okay. Are you still, just before I let you go, John, are you still planning to run for president?
Well, I'm not. I've never have been planning to run. I've been considering it, and I am still considering it.
Okay. And when will you make that decision?
In due course, it's a very substantial decision to make. I've looked at the question before in 2016, ultimately decided not to run. But in the circumstances of the present race, I am looking at it again and considering it, and I'll make the decision when the time is ripe.
Okay. John Bolton, former U.S. National Security Advisor to President Trump. Thank you.